After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he said, "I'm thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was sitting there, so they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on hyssop and held it up to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Then, bowing his head, he gave up his spirit.
John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, in order to fulfill Scripture, "I thirst." Have you ever been thirsty? And when I say thirsty, I mean really thirsty. Have you ever felt that pain inside of you when your stomach starts turning to knots? It's a sharp, piercing pain. How do you feel right now? As you're sitting in these pews, what feelings, what thoughts are going through your minds? Are you hungry? I know it's about dinner time. My stomach is starting to growl. Are you sleepy? It's been a long weekend of wedding planning. I could probably fall asleep standing up here if I tried real hard. Where are your thoughts tonight? What are you thinking about? What is distracting you right now? The things running through your minds other than right here, right now. Being thirsty is a terrible thing. It's something that, try as hard as you can't get that thought out of your mind. It's something that is stuck inside you. It is mentally distracting. You know, I remember one time as a little boy being out with my dad working in the fields. We'd been cutting wood all day. And I was so thirsty, and we forgot to bring the water jug with us. And we were out there for hours and hours, or at least it seemed like it. It was probably only like 20 minutes. And I was so thirsty. And Dad, I can't do it anymore. And I wanted to go drink out of the pond where the cows drink. I was so thirsty. You know, as a little boy, I thought that that was rough. That I couldn't have had it any worse. You know, you can go weeks and you can go months even without food. But you can only last 8 or 10 days without water. Our body is 65% water. That water is in our blood. It helps carry nutrients and oxygen to our cells. It helps get rid of waste from those cells in our joints. If we didn't have water, our joints and the soft tissues that are inside those joints depend on water for their flexibility, for their cushioning. Each day you need 8 to 10 cups of water just to replace all the fluids that you lose. Being dehydrated is rough. I don't know if you've ever been there. It can break you down faster than anything that you've ever experienced in your life. If you're a basketball fan, just ask the head coach of the University of Connecticut. He experienced that this week. H2O is so important in our lives. We have got to have it. Now, can you imagine Jesus, as he's hanging there on that cross? Jeff couldn't have picked a better song before the lesson tonight, because it hits on all aspects. You know, right now we're talking about him hanging on the cross, but there's so much more to it than that. All the pain and the agony that he went through in the garden, as he sat there and he prayed and he sweated, knowing what he was about to face. And then now, as he's hanging on the cross, it's been at least 3 hours. He's been hanging there with nothing. When was the last time you went that long without a drink? Can you imagine what it was? As soon as they hung him up there on the cross, they offered him something to drink and he said no. I think by that point I would have been like, "Just give it to me." But he said no, because what they offered him was a mixture that would have deadened the pain. He was able to say no to that. And so now in John chapter 19, we find him fulfilling what was written, fulfilling the scriptures,
Now he asks for something to drink to fulfill what was written. Whether it be Psalm chapter 69 and verse 21 where it says, "When I was hungry, they gave me poison. When I was thirsty, they offered me vinegar." Or Psalm chapter 22 verse 15, which I think may describe this scene best. It says, "My throat is as dry as dust, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth." Can you imagine what it is to be that thirsty? So thirsty that your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. You know, we may say that we're dying of thirst. When I was a little boy, I thought that I was not going to last another minute. But until we've experienced thirst like this, we don't know what thirsty is. Hopefully, physically, we'll never know what it is to be that thirsty. And there's so many things that we could look at from these two words uttered from Jesus, or uttered by Jesus from the cross. Two powerful words. "I thirst." We could look at His humanity, how this reveals the human side of Jesus, because He was able to experience things that you and I experience. We could look at the intensity of His suffering and how strong that must have been, and the pain and agony that He went through while He was hanging there. We could look at His reverence for Scripture, because that's one of the first things it says, is that He did this to fulfill what was written. Jesus took the Scriptures very seriously, and that's evidenced throughout His entire life. We could look at His willingness to submit to the Father's will, to still be on that cross, because we just sang it a second ago, He could have brought down all the angels from heaven. We could look at those things. But tonight I want to put just a little bit different twist on it. Tonight I want to turn the focus, perhaps this might be a little selfish, I don't know, to turn the focus to you and me. To focus on this idea of thirst. What it is to be thirsty. This word, thirst. I couldn't help but think as I read this verse over and over again, thinking, man, how do you preach on two words? Is this the same kind of thirst that Jesus asks of us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6? Do you remember that? Where He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, is that thirst there in Matthew the same thirst of anguish? Is this the same idea? Does it carry with it the same idea? I think that maybe it does. I can't help but think back to earlier in John chapter 7, verse 37, where Jesus stands up. It's one of the last days of the Feast of Tabernacles. He stands up and He says that whoever is thirsty should come to Me, and whoever believes in Me should drink. It's a pretty powerful verse if you go ahead and read all the other verses that are around it. And whoever is thirsty should come to Me. This, of course, should make us remember what John says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16. One of the elders in his vision speaks up and says, "He who sits on the throne will protect them with His presence. Never again will they hunger or thirst." One of those men in his vision, never again will they hunger or thirst. Surely by now we're catching on to the theme, this idea of thirst and of living water. These are some of the central themes in John's writing. I believe that it could even qualify as a command for you and I today. He says thirst, not just, you know, not just, "Yeah, I'm thirsty," but to thirst. To have that experience of where you're so thirsty that your tongue sticks to the roof of your mouth. He wants us to be thirsty. To me, this raises so many questions. As I was sitting there thinking about all this, do you thirst? Of course we all physically thirst, but spiritually, do you thirst? Do I thirst? I think so. But then what should I be thirsty for? Do I hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? What in the world does that even mean? So many questions, so many things going through my mind. I think it can be summed up with that very last question. Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? What does that mean? It means doing the will of God. It means having a desire and actively seeking to do what God wants us to do. Doing the will of God. Do you thirst for that? Do you desire? Do you have a desire for that? How often are we content to just sit back and see what happens in our lives? Or just roll with the punches? How often are we content to be Sunday and Wednesday, if there's time, Christians? To make sure we're here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night, maybe, it just depends on how I feel. How often are we okay with buying into whatever the preacher talks about? Whatever the preacher says, yeah, he must be right. When was the last time that in our lives we actively sought God's guidance on an issue? When there was that troubling decision, you know, do I accept this job and move my family? Do I, you know, quit this job and risk losing my family? When was the last time we sought God's guidance on an issue like that? When was the last time we came to church and were active participants in what goes on and not just passive observers like so many of us are sometimes? It's that easy thing to fall into. When was the last time that we had our own personal Bible study at home where we actually opened the Bible and we didn't just try to read through the whole Bible in a year, but we actually sat down and studied what God has to say to us? And I think this can extend so far beyond the church building. You know, our lives must reflect Christ, not only here in this building, but as we go out into our jobs, into the schools. Our lives have to reflect Jesus. We need to be constantly seeking His direction in our lives, constantly thirsting to do His will. John 4:34 says this. Actually, Jesus says this. He says, "My food is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work that He gave me to do." What a task. What a tough task. Jesus was able to do it, but when you think about doing that in your lives, it's kind of daunting, isn't it? How on earth am I going to get all that done? And then we're left with the question, well, what is my work? What am I supposed to be doing? But think about this. If our greatest commands are this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, this is the greatest and first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think that pretty much simplifies what our work is. Our work is to love God and to love each other. We need to be thirsting for that. This is what being a Christian is all about. This is what we should be all about. This is what the church should be all about. But tonight, as we're sitting in this room, I want us to do a little bit of self-examination in these last couple of minutes. Where are you tonight? Is this what you thirst for? Do you thirst to do God's will, to love Him, and to love each other? Do you actively seek Him and invite Him to play a role in your lives? Is that what you're all about? I hope it is. And if it's not, if we're not actively trying to have God be a part of our lives, I think it's time for a serious evaluation of our spiritual condition. It's time for us to sit down and look at the things that we do and look at our priorities in life. Where are you in your life tonight? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you actively seek that? I hope you do. I hope you have that thirst that dries your mouth out. I hope that you have that. Maybe you're a Christian and you've lost your direction in life. Maybe you've lost your desire. You've lost that thirst. Or maybe you're not a Christian and maybe you've been searching for a direction and you've found it in Jesus. Maybe you're in need of making a major change in your life tonight. I don't know what your situation is. That's up to you to decide. But if there's anything that we can help you with tonight, please come as we stand and sing.